Lord, may the words of my mouth, may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So it wasn't that long ago that I was helping to lead a retreat for youth, and I was asked to do some games at the very beginning to get them knowing each other. These were youth from all different churches while the adults met to find out their responsibilities for the weekend. And one of the games I did with them is called Four Corners, and they all start in the middle of the room, and then I'm going to tell them what the labels of the corners are. So I'm going to say, like, favorite food. And if it's pizza, that corner. If it's hamburgers, that corner. If it's chicken nuggets, that corner. If it's spaghetti, that corner. Ready, set, go. And they all go to the corners, right? And they're excited about who's in their corner. And sometimes they're egging people on, chicken nuggets are better, right? And it might be sports or sports teams or what grades they're in. But here they go. And how did I begin this? Think about this. How did I begin this as a pastor? But dividing them up, right? Dividing them up. And you would think, dang, that's a terrible way to start. But guess what? That's pretty reflective of our world right now, isn't it? Think about our world right now that our kids are growing up in and that they're seeing. It is a world filled with division. It seems like every day there's something that's dividing us either into corners or onto sides. Whether it's in the news, whether it's seeing things on social media, whether it's things that's happening in our community, this world that we're living in, it seems like everybody's ready to take a side any minute. And I was thinking, you know, it appears like it's this black and white world that we live in. But it's really not black and white. It seems like it's black versus white, versus brown, versus Asian, versus all others. It seems like we're living in a world that's Democrat versus Republican versus independent. It's conservative versus liberal. It's pro-LGBTQI versus anti-LGBTQI. Pro-life versus pro-choice. Rams versus Raiders. Dodgers versus Angels, dog people versus cat people. It seems like any minute we're ready to be divided and to be on our side and to see who's against us. It's a sad state to be living in. And we would think it's unique to this time, but it's not. It goes all the way back to creation. Go all the way back to Father Abraham, and what do we have? Two sons, the first Ishmael and the younger Isaac. And they get divided. Ishmael sent off on his way, and the prophecy is that the descendants of Ishmael and the descendants of Isaac will be at odds, the Muslim faith and the Jewish faith. We see God with the Tower of Babel under Moses, and when the people are all gathered together and trying to build a tower to get to God, what does God say? Oh no, when the people are united, trouble can happen. So what does God do? But God divides them and says, I'm going to give you all different languages so that you're separated and you can't work together. We get to the New Testament. We get to the Apostle Paul that we read from today, and what environment are we in? But we're in Jew versus Gentile, slave versus free, clean versus unclean, the insiders versus the outsiders. It seems it's the way it's always been. But here's Paul on this day, as he's writing to the people of Ephesians, this divided community. And what is he saying? He's saying, I, Paul, an apostle of God, have a message to share. And we know Paul's message if we read the Gospels that come before this. Paul, who was on one of those sides, helping to draw the line as he worked to arrest those followers of Christ and to try to convict them of crimes against the Jewish faith and against the government. But one day God looked at him and saw what was inside of him and said, this passion, this energy, this ability that he has to gather people onto his side, I see it and I can use it. And God blinded him for 3 days, and at the end of the 3 days, God says, I have a new mission and a purpose for you. And here's what it is, to bring the message of Christ. But it wasn't just that. It wasn't just about going from the side that was against the followers of Christ to be on the side of the followers of Christ. But God said, now that you've changed sides, now from that side, you are going to go on a mission to save the Gentiles and bring them into this community. Now there's a new line that you're going to be looking at. And instead of drawing that line, you, Paul, my apostle, are going to be working to erase that line. And so what do we hear here in the book of Ephesians? But we hear Paul talking to the Gentiles that have always been told, you're the non-Jews, you're the outsiders, you're the ones that can't come in. And he said, I'm inviting you in. I have a message of Christ, the mystery of who he is and how he brings salvation, and I'm bringing that message to you and telling you this salvation is as much for you as it is for the Jews. And he said right there at the end, he said, I am suffering because of this message. He's been persecuted. He's been run out of city after city. He's been imprisoned because of this message. And he says, but do not be sad for my suffering, because I do it for you and for the glory of God. Paul says, I will put my body, my life, my freedom, my well-being on the line to bring people into this community and bring unity within it. We see this over and over again in his letters. Unity in the body, unity in the parts. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, he says, please let there be no divisions in the church. Because he knew, like you go back to the Tower of Babel, that division is what conquers a people. And that divisions in the church would be the demise of the church. And so he prayed for unity. Just like Jesus in his last hours in the Garden of Gethsemane, what did he pray for? But he prayed for unity amongst the believers, not amongst the Jews, not amongst the chosen, amongst the believers. Jesus and Paul on this mission to unite the believers. Now, what does that look like? If I go back to that retreat, I promise dividing them up wasn't where I ended that night. We spent time being divided, but then I took those youth and I drew a line down the middle of the dining hall that we were in, and I had half of them on one side and half of them the other, looking at the other side. And then I gave them the instructions. I said, I'm going to make a statement, and if that statement appeals to you, you're going to go to the middle of the room and give a high five to somebody on the other side. If you're in high school, go in the middle and give somebody a high five, and three-fourths of the room with big smiles on their face gave a high five. If you're junior high, junior highers came forward. If you play a sport, if you play a musical instrument or sing, and all of a sudden, there's all these joy-filled smiles in the room. They were laughing and excited. There were no divisions. There were no rivalries. It wasn't looking back and see who wasn't there. They were excited about what they had in common. And that, my friends, is the church. We live in this polarizing world that's trying to divide us. People trying to put us on sides. These sides that are costing friendships and families. These sides that are wounding and hurting people. But then we ask the question, why are we here? Why are we a church? Why are we in this building? And the answer at the heart of it is to be community. To not be the place where it's one versus the other, but to be the place of unity and to celebrate that there's diversity. How excited am I that we are black and white and brown and Asian and everything else. How excited am I that we are Democratic and Republican and independent altogether. How excited am I that we are Rams fans and Raiders fans and Dodgers friends and Angels fans. I love the Angels, but I love my Dodgers fans too. We are a place where it doesn't matter what side of the political debate you are on or the social debate. Because in this place, we each get to have our own beliefs and where we stand, but here we get to stand united. Not on those individual beliefs, but on the cross of Christ. That we get to be brothers and sisters and know that that's happening all around the world. That we are a church united. We're the United Methodist Church, and we are all around the world. That we are brothers and sisters, and we have Christ in common with the poorest of people in Africa and the richest of people in Europe. We have Christ in common with those in the furthest stretches of Antarctica and right next door in Mexico and Canada. That it's not about our status. It's not about where we come from. It's not about what box we check in November. But it's about being the body of Christ. And there are those out there that are going to try to divide us because they know we are weaker when we are divided. But what if we, as a church, stood up and said, we are together and we stand on love for one another? That could be the most powerful thing we ever do. We are in this place so that we can be community. Like Sherry said, that we can be community that supports one another and cares for one another and lifts one another up on their toughest of days. That supports one another when they're grieving, prays for one another when they are hurting, brings food when somebody is hungry. To be the kind of church that when this world wounds somebody, they come in here and they are embraced and loved and welcomed so they can find healing. That's the church that Christ is the foundation of. That's the church that Paul was working to build. And that's the legacy that we get to live here on World Communion Sunday. To not look at what makes us different, but to be able to come together and see what binds us together. And that is the love of Christ that is for each and every one of us. My friends, this is the blessing. This is why we are here. This is what this is all about. Friends, it's something for us to think about. Something for us to think about as we look at the person sitting next to us in the pew. As we look at the person that's driving next to us, standing in front of us at the grocery store line. As we see another human being, and now that's another child of God, just like me. I pray on this day for unity. I pray that we can be a united Methodist church here in the South Bay with the message of Christ's love and Christ's unity.